You know, we've got the scriptures in front of us, and I'm going to ask you to open them this morning to the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 4, and we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 4, verses 13 through 31, and the title of the message is Time for Boldness, Time for Boldness, Acts chapter 4, verse 13 through 31. You know, a couple Sundays ago, as we kicked off our evangelism month here at Fairhaven's Baptist Church, one of the first things we looked at was found over in the book of Matthew chapter 9, and that had to do with Jesus's compassion for those who needed a shepherd, those who would tell the truth. And then last week, we looked at Matthew chapter 28, which was the commission, Christ commissioning those who would believe to share the good news of Jesus Christ and disciple them and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we saw compassion, and then we saw the commission. And then this week, you know, what I want us to focus on is asking God to give us boldness, the type of boldness that the apostles had in the New Testament. God knows that if there's any a time for us in our lifetime, or my lifetime anyway, it's a time for boldness, that is today. For us to be bold about our faith in Jesus Christ. So as we take a look at that this morning, I'm going to ask you to, those of you to pin things out, and those that like to keep up with the order of my sermon, because there's usually always 3 points, right? And so if you'll keep up with it, you'll know how fast we're getting through it. But let me give you the 3 points right off the bat so that you'll be able to see where we are, where we're going with this as we talk about boldness. The first point being the men. And we see that in verse number 13. And then the second point of the message this morning is the message. And the third point is the masses. So that you can track along, see how we're doing, kind of wake up in the middle of it all and say, hey, this is where we are. So you can locate yourself in the message. The worst thing about, I don't know, you're good. You know, the worst thing would be to wake up and find everybody else raptured out of the church and you're asleep. Amen. Wouldn't that be something? A time for boldness. And I'm reading out of the King James translation this morning. And I want you to see these points with me because they're very obvious. And it's a story, and it's about a prayer or the boldness of Peter and John. And first, let's take a look at the men in this story. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, the Bible says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus." And you ask yourself, well, Pastor, you're right in the middle of a story here. You're telling us the middle of a story. So in doing that, let's capture what had actually taken place where these people had come to Peter and John. And we have to look over in Acts chapter number 3 to get the whole story. Brother John, if you'll show that beautiful picture, if you've got that this morning. I sent John a picture this morning. I don't know if you can see that or not. It's not a picture of anybody in our congregation. But it's an illustration. It comes out of the book of Acts chapter number 3. Now let me begin by reading, and we're still on the men, but I want you to see what the whole hoopla was about that Peter and John were being ridiculed for. In Acts chapter 3, verse 1, let me just read, or you can follow along. It says this: "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb who was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, ask alms from those who enter the temple. It was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It was the last service that would be held at the temple. It was customary that as people approached the temple that they would give alms to the poor. And the reason they would do that is because according to the Jewish rabbis and teachings of their day, there were 3 most important things that you had to do. Number 1 was to obey the Torah. Number 2 was to come to worship. Number 3 was to be very gentle and kind and give out to those who had nothing. So it was a great thing for someone who was lame from his mother's womb to be laid at this gate called Beautiful, because the people that were attending the worship service at the temple, it was 3 o'clock, and it was a good time to get some money. So as he's there at this gate, he had to be carried there. This gate, by the way, is called the gate called Beautiful, which was an entrance into the temple area. And it was made out of bronze, and that's the reason it was called the Beautiful Gate. It was ornate, and out of all the gates that surrounded this area, this was the most ornate one. They tell us that it weighed so much, it would take 20 men to open and close that gate. So here lay this lame man, as you see on the illustration, at the temple at the gate called Beautiful. And the Bible says, and it says, lay it to ask alms from those who enter the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask for alms or ask for a handout. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, listen to this, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Now remember, this was a man who was lame from birth. He had never walked in his entire life. It's not like he had arthritis and he could just get around a little bit. This man was lame from birth. And the Bible says, so he leaping, and I like that word. That's what I would do if I could walk again, amen? Or if I had never walked before. He's leaping, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping, and look at what he was doing. What was it the Bible say? He was praising God, amen? And the Bible says, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew it was he who sat begging alms at the Beautiful Gate of the temple. So they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. My goodness, something happened at the church. Verse 11. Now as the lame man was healed, held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. And you see what's getting ready to happen is Peter gets the opportunity to preach. By the way, why you always see Peter and John or one of the apostles always with one another is because back in those days, for a statement to be verified, you had to be at least another witness. And that's why Jesus sent the apostles out by twos, because any miraculous thing that took place, if it happened on your own, you know, it could have been any old fish story, but when you had other people to corroborate the story, you've got John, who's the beloved apostle, with Peter standing there, and they're seeing what's happened. And you know, it's interesting about these men. The Bible says that these two men had very little education, and they weren't a collegiate. They weren't full of panais. They weren't people who were rocket scientists. They were common fishermen. But they were out there, and as they were out there sharing this, you know, they did it from a heart that was filled with boldness as they performed this miracle, this miraculous thing for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that Peter began to preach. So when Peter saw it, responded to the people, and listen to what he said, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Why do you look so intently at us as though by our own power of godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, and when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, and God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith comes through him, was given him the perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, and it also as rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ would suffer has thus been fulfilled. Verse 19, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so at the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration by all things which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things whatever he says to you. And it shall come that everyone who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow us. Many has spoken, has also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant, which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham and your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you and in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. Now, here's Peter and John, and we see the story. They're at the gate called Beautiful. They walk up. They in the name of Jesus Christ. Notice, by the way, they're not doing it in their own name. They're not looking for a tent crusade. They're not trying to get a television show. They're not taking any claim on this themselves. They're not wanting pictures blasted all over the community to glorify themselves. Listen, they want to glorify Jesus Christ. And when Peter begins to preach, he talks about Jesus. But these men were told, and they brought witnesses against them in the beginning of chapter number 4. They said, we forbid you to talk in the name of Jesus any longer. Do not heal, do not teach in his name. So that's where we pick up the story. The Bible says these men were filled with boldness. And you see it in verse number 13. They were filled with boldness to tell the good news of Jesus Christ. These weren't ordinary men. They were men that had walked with Jesus. That's what the Bible says. Uneducated men, but it was evident that they had what? Walked with Jesus. I like that. They walked with Jesus. And you remember Peter. I mean, what an earth-shaking testimony he had. He was the one who had what? Denied Christ. Jesus predicted it. He wouldn't even say to him, get thee hence or get behind me, Satan. And Peter, after the ascension of Christ, walked away from the faith, basically, and he goes back out to fishing, and he looks on the seashore, and he sees who standing there? Jesus! The one he had denied, and Peter comes back to the shore, and he's sitting by the coals on the beach. And by the way, it's an interesting note that, you know, those coals, there's another time in which Peter stood around some coals. And that's when he was warming himself and he denied Christ 3 times. Now he's back around some warm coals on a beach. And Jesus said, do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? Oh, he had to be thinking about how he had denied him only a few short days before. Do you love me, Peter? And he breaks down and he realizes his horrible sin of denying Christ the first time, and yet he is converted completely when he says, yes, I love you, Lord. And Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church. Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me? And you remember the Apostle John, he was the one that laid his head on the breast of Christ, and when Christ was crucified, he looked at John and looked at his mother and said, John, behold your mother. He had actually given his mother, Mary, to him to watch over him after his death. It was John and that saw the witness of the resurrected Christ and the Mount of Transfiguration. Listen, these two guys were filled with boldness. Do you know why? Let me tell you why. Because they walked with Jesus. When someone walks with Jesus on a daily basis, walk, when someone is completely transfigured or changed because of what Christ did for them, when our sins are completely forgiven and we realize it's a free gift of God's grace and mercy, listen, you can be bold for Jesus Christ. Because the only thing that really matters on the top of your priority list is what? Jesus. Being bold about Christ, that He is the truth, He is the way, He is the life, that there is no other. And that's what Peter said in Acts 4:12. There is no name among men whereby we must be saved but by the name of what? Jesus. Wow, that's bold. Well, I mean, he was telling a bunch of Pharisees, Sadducees, and all the people that were standing there, listen, I don't care what you're waiting for. I don't care what you believe in. Let me tell you something. Jesus is the only way. That's boldness. It cut them to the heart to hear that message. That was boldness. I don't know about you, but I love people that are bold and radical for Jesus. I really do. I went in Tom Morgan's office a few months ago, and he works up at Mullins Armory. I'm not going to brag on you too much, but I went in there and laid on his desk with some tracts. That takes boldness. You know, you could jeopardize your job doing that. What, are you crazy? I know some of you that have gone on mission trips and told people about Jesus. I know some of you that teaching Sunday school and having Bible studies and in the road and in the byways and where you work talking about Jesus. Thank God for you, amen? Because it is true that we need to be people that are bold for Jesus Christ. You don't have to be educated in the way of theology. Matter of fact, that may be a crippling effect. Because really, all you should really be focused on is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Because if you take a look at the second point of the message, which means, by the way, we're moving on, that the message was all about Jesus. I mean, if you go look at in Acts chapter 3, which I just read to you, look at the first half of Acts chapter 4, you get the idea that the message that these men are speaking is all about Jesus. Every way you turn, it's all about Jesus. It's not about anything else. You won't be confused because you see that it's all about Jesus. And you say, well, how important is Jesus to salvation? Well, my dear friend, without Jesus, there is no salvation. And I believe that, and you need to believe that, that without Jesus Christ as the message that we have to share, there is no salvation. Someone got on my case a few months ago about sharing Christ, and I'm not lifting myself up, but it was an educated person who just so happened to be a doctor, and they were kind of riding on me about it. And the question comes to mind is this, Doc, if you had the cure to give someone eternal life and they would be perfectly healthy, I mean, I wouldn't want eternal life on earth with medical issues, would you? I mean, I'd want a full head of hair. I mean, I'd want my kidneys to work right. I wouldn't want to be a diabetic. I wouldn't want to have high blood pressure. I mean, I wouldn't want any of those things if I were to have eternal life. But the question was, Doc, if you could give somebody eternal life from an injection that you could give to them and they could live forever and they would have a perfect body while they live, would you not give it to them? And his answer was what? Yes. But I do have a cure for that. And it's all about who? Jesus. See, you have to be bold. The men that shared this message, the men needed to be bold. And other people that could see, they saw, they were bold for Jesus. And the message is all about being bold. There isn't. Listen, church, listen. There is no other way. These men knew, just like Fanny Crosby knew. You know who Fanny Crosby is? How many of you know who Fanny Crosby is? Fanny Crosby was a person who wrote lyrics. She was blind. She wrote some of the greatest hymns that we have in our hymnal. She loved Jesus. She was bold about Jesus. She truly was. And she could not contain herself. Just like these two men could not contain themselves. Their message was all about who? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. All about Jesus. She wrote a song And many of you may know it. And it goes like this. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, so happy in Jesus. No language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence will me doth continually dwell. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of Him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. And you know, redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His infinite mercy, His child forever I am. You know the song? You know, she could not contain it. Why? Listen, because the message was all about Jesus, 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 Jesus. It wasn't about Fanny Crosby. This was not about Peter and John. The message was all about Jesus Christ. And if our church, if this congregation is to grow, it's not about suppers and cheeseburgers and plastic alligators and youth programs and great music. It's all about Jesus. People ought to be able to leave the congregation when they come in here and they ought to say this. Went to Fairhaven's. Those people over there are nuts. Why? It's Jesus, 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 Jesus. It's all about Savior, 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 Savior. Man, those people won't stop talking about Him. If you meet one of them at the store, it's Jesus. Those people are so bold, they'll drive you crazy about Jesus. They won't shut up. They won't be still. They're always talking about the Savior of the world. I don't think I'm going to go there. They make me uncomfortable. Why, I'd rather talk about everything else. I'd rather look in a Reader's Digest and say, hello, I'm Joe's kidneys. But then there'll be other people that'll come in, disenfranchised with all the other things that everybody's offering. The cheeseburgers, the plastic Kool-Aid, I mean, you know, the alligators and whatever else to come. And they will say, you know what we were missing? Jesus. When we keep the main thing, we keep on doing the main thing. It's about evangelism. It's about being bold, being men and women of God, and giving out the same message. And that's the message. It's all about Jesus. We've talked in Sunday school the last couple of Sundays about how to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what the gospel's all about? Jesus. Well, how do I share my faith? You talk about Jesus. You go to the main point. Churches, listen to this. I heard, and again, I haven't verified it, and I may have repeating something I've said already, but it just amazed me, that in the United States, in this coming year, in the year 2016, they estimate that 4,000 churches, evangelical churches, will close their doors in America. I can see it. When I pastored in North Carolina, they had estimated some 300 or 400 were going to close their doors in the next 5 years there because they were up in the mountains, mom and pop churches. Nobody evangelized. It was all about community activities. And, you know, we'd come together on Sunday morning and talk about everybody and say hallelujah and amen and, you know, what's for supper. But when we keep the main thing, the message is always Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And when we always nail that nail in the pulpit, and when we sing, and when we teach Sunday school, and everything we do, the message needs to be Jesus, 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 Jesus. That's what they did in the New Testament. Now, I love that. Because, you know, there's no other name like the name of what? Jesus, how can you not want to sing that song? Leon, you want to come up here and just belt it out for us? Maybe we'll have some revival, amen? It's all about Jesus. And the Bible says that the message was bold. Not only that, but here's the third point. So get ready to grab your fork. The masses. We got the men. They were bold. We got the message. It was bold. And then we got the masses. How did they respond to this? Look over in chapter 4, verse 4. And it says in that chapter, in that book, of the book of Acts, 4:4, it says, well, go up to verse 1. And as they spoke, the people, the priests, and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in what? Jesus and the resurrection, that he wanted to stir stuff up from the dead. Said they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. I like however in the Bible. However is some of my best verses. However, many of those who heard the word, guess what happened? They believed. And the number of the men that came were about 5,000. See, when we are bold with a bold message, the masses respond. Now, did all of them believe? No. But 5,000 believed that Jesus Christ was the way, the truth, and the life, and no man would come except through him. 5,000. We're living in a world today in which we need to be bold about our faith. Seems like everybody else is bold about something. We've got people coming out of the closet left and right. Am I right? And the Christians are jumping in the closet. We're taking their place. Here, let's let these people all jump out of the closet and do whatever they want to do and act crazy and lewd and filthy mouthed and acting crazy. And the Christians are going, oh, well, we don't want to offend anybody. Let's go get in the closet. And we pull the dog closet closed and we all congregate in the closet together and play patty cakes and eat cheeseburgers and play with our plastic dinosaurs and sing little ditties that make us feel good. Hallelujah. While the rest of the world is out there out of the closet. My dear friend, we need to be bold and come out of the closet. It's time. We need to step out. What are they going to do to you? Look, what are they going to do to you? The same thing they did to these guys. They ridiculed, they persecuted them, they gave them a hard time. But Jesus is the message. And the masses are waiting to hear it. They are waiting to hear it. What a great day it will be when we all gather around the throne, and I hope to take a few people with me when I go. Amen? I'd like to be caught witnessing when the rapture takes place. Not in the closet. I'd like to have some guy in a headlock reading him my track and all of a sudden get sucked up in about middle of the atmosphere and say, you believe? Because if not, I'm going to let you go. And you're dangling over the pit of hell itself. What's your answer? Being bold for Jesus. Not afraid. You're going to offend some. You may ask the question, I need boldness. I need boldness to tell my family. I need boldness to tell my church friends. I need boldness to tell the people I work, where I go to school. I need boldness. I need that in my life. Well, you know how you can get it? According to the book of Acts, it says right here, verse number 29, they're in a prayer meeting. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all, what? They're in prayer, listen to what it says, that with all boldness they may speak your word. How can you get boldness? With a bold message for the masses, by humbling ourselves before the Lord and asking Him, dear God, make me bold. Give me the backbone I need to be a witness of Jesus. Are you there? Are you there? You know. Holy Spirit knows. God the Father knows. How many opportunities have we blown every time we go to the restaurant or go out to work or school or see friends? Are you bold? You know. If not, we need to be praying, God, give me the boldness to speak the truth. Let's pray. Lord, we humbly come before you and we are thankful for the testimony of Peter and John. And Father, how that man's life was changed not only physically, but spiritually. That lame man at the gate called beautiful. He leaped. He ran. What a testimony. And they all talked about Jesus. Father, we pray that as a congregation of your people, that you would give us the boldness we need. We ask for it. We pray for it. To be willing to share the bold message of Jesus. Father, help us. That we'll come out of the closet. People will know what we stand for. That we'll be kind and we'll be gentle. We'll be sweet. We won't be judgmental, Father, to those who are lost. For whosoever will may come, Father, help us to tell this good message. We ask it in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, our sweet Savior. Amen.